You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford. Come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop culture cosmos. Caca indeed. Yes, that's right, Petty my cat. Good to have you here. Pop culture cosmos, inside sports, fantasy football, and game source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please go ahead and also, if you can, please, like, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, including subscribing today on YouTube. That's it, right below Joe. He's out of the dumpster. He's waiting for you to go ahead and subscribe under him. He's right there for you, right there on YouTube. Plus, you can go ahead, again, if you can like, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. All the chat rooms starting already. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at Lakerholics.com. Go ahead and follow Jamie Sweet on his Five Things articles. And the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, Laker Tom, go ahead and check out his numerous articles today at Lakerholics.com. Plus, our good friends also as well at LakersBall.com. You know Ox1947, a.k.a. Joe Soros, always lurking around there. In fact, he was lurking out of the dumpster and at LakersBall.com last night. So go ahead and check out all the great groups that are there. They're talking about Patrick Beverley right there for you at LakersBall.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, it is sincerely appreciated. I was actually going to take a break for today because we were on last night, but, you know, this Patrick Beverley trade kind of threw things all out of whack because I knew Joe Sorrell had to go ahead and say stuff. I knew Laker Tom had to go ahead and say stuff about the trade that went down officially today as Patrick Beverley is on his way to L.A. for Talen Horton Tucker and Stanley Johnson. Already the sigh right there for you. Good to have you back, John, in the chat room. Hope to get you back on the show whenever you can. Wes Trueblood, good to have you a show. as well, you guys are already starting the comments, great. But yes, Patrick Beverley is now a Laker. And of course, the reason why that we're having a show tonight, because it's been very divisive among Lakers fans as far as the good and the bad that comes with Patrick Beverley. I'll start off with the good. And they loved throwing the stat out there last night, all over the place, including ESPN, as far as in the five seasons, he is the number two individual on one-on-one defense as far as the field goal percentage. As far as the field goal percentage is concerned, right behind Giannis. So that's a great sign.
Guarded, when you're closely guarding somebody.
Yes. When he is the closest man to you, he is providing the second lowest field goal percentage the last five seasons.
And he mixed up this garbage, seriously.
Well, hold on.
The guy that's closest to the player, this is a statistic.
Basically, sure. It's a one-on-one thing. As far as
they have cameras on every single player now, Joe, and they track how many miles they run.
This is already going off the rails, and we're not even 5 minutes in. Before we go off the rails entirely, I will say just essentially what they're saying, it's a one-on-one defense. So basically, if he's the closest man to you, he's the second lowest percentage as far as field goal is concerned over the last five seasons. Also good is that fact that he is a 37.8% three-point shooter And last year, for his career, and last year, he had his high in assists, 4.6 assists. So what's the bad and what's the downside with this? He is 34. So with any 34-year-old, you're eventually going to get diminishing returns. Could it happen this season? We're not sure as of yet. Last year, he did fall to his career low in three-point shooting, down to 34.3, which would still make him one of the best on the Lakers. So you got to look at that bright side. And he's never averaged more than 12 points in the season. And that was only in 11 games with the Clippers. So he's not really going to score more than 10 points a game as far as an average for any team at all in his career. So that's the good and the bad right there with Patrick Beverley. But again, a lot of things that are coming up. Plus, also with the bad, people are saying as far as his personality is concerned, it goes both ways. Very competitive. He can get his team as far as into a great mindset, but he can also get his team out of a great mindset. His comments and his banter and his smack talk will probably reign supreme from social media all year long. So be prepared for that, Lakers fans. So here today to talk about this is two great guests indeed. As always on the Thursday group chat, we've got a great talk ahead of us. It is, of course, first off, first man here, first man up. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, I know in the days leading up to this trade, you had mentioned as part of a larger Utah trade that you wouldn't mind having Patrick Beverley here. He plays better off the ball, obviously, than what we have with Russell Westbrook currently. I think that, you know, you're going to tell me here in the next few minutes that this is definitely a sign that Russell Westbrook is out the door, because those two are like oil and water. They have been throughout their entire career. Your thoughts on the trade of Patrick Beverley saying hello to LA and THT and Stanley Johnson saying goodbye to the Lakers?
Well, I think it's a great move for the Lakers. It's exactly what they need to do. And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that we hired Darvin Ham and we are going to play the same offense and defense that the Milwaukee Bucks played. So it, while you can't make a complete parallel between the three superstars on the two teams and so forth, the one thing that you can do is make sure that you have players that you give Darvin Ham who fit the defense and offense he wants to run. So that means if you want a point guard who's something somewhat like Jrue Holiday, who's going to be an attack dog, a point of attack defender, and he's got to shoot a good percentage of three-point shots. He's got to be able to maybe make a few plays for other players and so forth. But primarily, he's a defender. He is the tip of the spear for your defense. And so you need somebody who can do that. And even though he's 34, Pat's definitely a real, genuine, legitimate 3-and-D player. And he takes care of the ball pretty good. He's got a 3-to-1 turnover ratio for assisted turnovers. And he brings a fire that was one of the things that was sorely missing from the Lakers last year, that they don't have a player who's – he's like – he reminds me of, in many ways, of a player that I really like. And frankly, I've been on record as saying that I really can't stand – I can't stand Beverley. But on the other hand, now that he's on our team – it's the same
thing. I know someone who feels the same way as you do, Laker Tom. Mm-hmm. I wonder who that might be.
Yeah, but you know, listen, there's a lot to like about this, a lot to like about him coming to the Lakers, because I do think that the Lakers need a veteran who will call out anybody else on the team, very much like Marcus Smart did to the Celtics superstars. And so you've got somebody who's going to really latch on to that accountability factor that Darvin Ham wants to play this team. And you've got somebody to attack defensively. I think that's really important. I also think it's a critical thing that Rob Pelinka was able to get this trade happen without giving up a draft pick. I know some people are kind of angry about the fact that we gave up. It's really one of those funny situations where we were $75,000 off from being a perfect, a close enough match that you could do the straight up trade. So we had to throw a player in there, and probably we wanted to throw Wenyen Gabriel in there. But if you remember back last year when Stanley had his best game as a Laker and one of the best games probably of his career, where he constantly just drove in on Rudy Gobert over and over. And, you know, there's no doubt that Danny Ainge remembered that game. And so basically the extra player they had to throw in ended up having to be Stanley Johnson in order to make this trade work. But it's a great move, I think, for the Lakers. They want defense. Now you have at least three players out of the on the starting lineup who are plus defenders, counting LeBron, AD, and Beverly. And hopefully whatever trades you make to finish out this thing, I think it clearly says that you're trading Russell Westbrook. I think that's the other major factor that comes out as a result of this trade. Like Gerald said, there, Russ and Patrick have had an ongoing battle ever since they've been in the league. And it's gotten nasty at times. And it's not the type of thing I think that the Lakers at all envision. But I've never been the one who thinks that the Lakers are going to keep Russell Westbrook under any circumstances. I just don't think that's going to happen. I still see everybody talking about that, acting like we may keep until the trade deadline. And I know that, you know, Jamie Sweet continues to push the fact that, you know, hey, there's some advantages for not moving him at the trade, moving him at the trade deadline, because
it'll I'll say this, Tom. Let me just say this, that it makes it a little bit more palatable if you don't get a good trade before the start of training camp to just send him home, because you right. have somebody that
could. There is a good trade out there, and the only thing you have to give up for it is two draft picks. Hopefully, you know, I think what they're going to try to do, listen, you know, Jamie's got a good point, because I can't deny that I would like to see the Lakers go into the trade deadline this year, not only with five or six players making between $5 and $20 million so that you can make some deals, but also a draft pick. That would be great. I understand that, but I'm not willing to take that over getting Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, for example. I think that's too important. But I do think there's a chance that you can give them a pick swap instead of a pick. Now, and when you think about that, the thing about pick swaps is that they're unprotected picks. In other words, if you give them a 2026 pick swap, that means that they, even if the Lakers ended up with had a horrible thing, everybody got injured, and we ended up at that point in time with the second worst record in the league, and we got the number two pick in the draft, there's no protection to that. You just exchange picks. So a pick swap could be a good compromise, I think. And that would be the ideal situation, that we do the Turner and heel trade for one pick and one pick swap and Russ and, man, then we're sitting good. We've got an asset to go forward with, to trade with. We're never going to use it, but other than in a trade. But it's a valuable trading chip, and there's a lot of trades we turned down because we didn't have a pick, and that'll always be the situation, unfortunately. But I think there's a lot of positive things. We're not out of the woods yet. The Lakers have this other dream of Kyrie Irving next summer, and getting the cap space to be able to sign him as a free agent. And if they want to do that, that is going to make it very hard, because you're not going to want to bring in Buddy Hield, who's got a second year. I think the smart thing for the Lakers to do is to do the trade for Turner and Hield. Hield has a two-year contract, which means that he lines up perfectly now with LeBron and AD. Miles Turner has only a one-year contract, so you give him a 1+1 extension, and then you've got basically all four of those guys for 2 years solid. I think that's the smart move for the Lakers, and hopefully that's what they'll do.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school people now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, we'll see what happens. Again, Patrick Beverley, both good and bad. We've talked about it. I mentioned the pluses and minuses of bringing him on as part of the team. We've got to be prepared as Laker fans. He's going to probably do some really good things, and you know, even at 34, but he's also going to do some things that are going to make you just, you know,
cringe. Cringe is the word.
Yeah, you're cringe or madder than a buzzsaw. But here today, rising out of the dumpster, finally, I have gone ahead and appeased the Lakers Fast Break fans out there because he is here live and in living color. It is a good man indeed, a very angry man, a very agitated man, but a guy who's been all over LakersBall.com. It is Ox1947, a.k.a. Joe Soro. Joe, always good to have you here, my friend. Appreciate your comments as well, helping out on the chat room. Everybody truly appreciates it as well. Again, you have not liked this from the get-go. You were the one that helped us report it. Jamie and I didn't actually believe it was happening as we were live on the air, but you were kind enough, and I do thank you for going ahead and sharing that first off. But now that you've shared it to the world, as you did on last night's show, and you've had some time to think about it 24 hours later, any type of positivity towards this trade, or are you still right into the dumpster with your thoughts on Patrick Beverley?
Well, I was enjoying a very nice game last night, watching the Dodgers score 10 runs again and doing their usual slaughter in the first three or four innings. And then as I'm sitting there enjoying the slaughter, I get a tweet. And it's reports that Patrick Beverley is likely to be traded to L.A. And I didn't need an official confirmation. I knew it was happening at that point. And it's just adding to more of the horror of decision-making that this team keeps making, or not making, I should say. We've gone from a team of... You know, I'm not gonna use Kobe and Shaq as that. Those are different type of players. But even like Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, Horace Grant, AC Green, his second turn, Lamar Odom, Shannon Brown, the guys that whether they were mid tier, high tier, low tier, bench guys, hell, Banga, you know, like
DJ. There was
DJ Banga, there were times where we really, really liked the team. We liked the players. The players down from 12 to 1 were people that we wanted to cheer for. And we go from that to sort of getting a little bit of it back by having a Caruso, by having an Austin Reeves. Before that, before Kuzma's slump during the championship year, Kuzma, KCP was a little bit of hot and cold, but very well liked. We've gone from that to bringing on a bozo clown. And you can say that this guy can put the nose on and it would fit. It would fit perfectly. And this is the guy that's going to be yapping and raving all about how we won two games in a row. You know, he's going to be like Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell after 8 straight losses. They win and they start celebrating. And then Jimmy Kimmel shows a replay while Kobe's being interviewed, and Kobe just kind of sits there. And that's kind of how I felt. I just kind of sat there and I just like, you know, we got to set aside the clown act. We just brought in a 34-year-old guard who's listed at 6'1", which basically means he's 5'11". He shoots 40% from the field. He shoots 37% from three, which means automatically coming to the Lakers, that's going to dip 5%, which means he's going to be shooting 32%. You already have a guard who can't even hit the rim from 5 feet away. And you're going to put these two guys.
What guard where? Is that?
Where?
Russell Westbrook.
Where? Oh, it's a precursor. If I keep hearing this precursor BS, at some point we're going to have to reinvent the word precursor. What does precursor mean? To what? Who's going to take Russell Westbrook without taking our internal organs, which there's really nothing there anyways? Let's be real here. And the fact that this guy, when was the last time he played anywhere close to a full season? Oh, 4 seasons ago. Gee. So we got a guy that can't shoot, that has a big mouth, that looks like he just came out of a dumpster. That's why I mentioned that word. And we're expecting this, he's going to put energy in the team. Energy. There's only one energy that matters in basketball. Ball in the hoop. That's it. I don't want to hear, we don't need a locker room guy. I've been hearing that too the last, 7, 8 years? You know, well, we got to bring this veteran to be the locker room guy. You know, Jared Dudley was this locker room guy. And I'm sitting here going, these are grown-ass adults. These are professional athletes who are veterans already. What the hell do I need some washed-up player to show them leadership in the locker room? This is the crap that just like nonsense. The non-focus. This is the kind of crap that gets you out of your focus. Now the Laker players, the young guys, let's say, and even to some degree Anthony Davis, who's easygoing, and then you got the passive aggressive LeBron James. These guys are not going to talk to Patrick Beverley. They're going to talk to freaking Russell Westbrook. They're just going to be like, and talk about it when they go somewhere else. No one's going to sit down like, let's say, Kobe would or MJ and say, what are you doing? What's with the clown act? Sit your butt down and shut up unless you win, unless you do something. So you got a player that you just got, and you traded away a player that you put your faith in and lost one of the most favorite players in Alex Caruso for this player, and you traded him a year later in a situation where you put him in the worst situation. He was in the worst situation last year. Yeah, he had no way of becoming successful at his skill set by doing what they did to him last year, which is THT. And now you trade him for what? You trade him for a washed up, loud mouth, dirty looking, non-representative Laker basketball player. Why? I don't know why. Maybe to clear
credit. To get to look better.
So let's talk business. This looks like a salary dump. And they didn't have to give up anything. That's what this was. This was a business transaction. The Lakers don't have to worry about paying anybody after this year. So they traded THT. They don't have to worry about that contract beyond 2023.
Because it's a player option, correct, on the back end of THT's contract. Is that correct? Is that a player option or a team option?
I don't think it's a player option.
I'll look at Sportrack while you're next talking year. About.
So we are now in the business, like I said last time I was on here, we're in the business of worrying about next year, not this year. No one is going to take Russell Westbrook as of right now, from what I've seen. No one's going to take that guy off our hands. So the Lakers are going to have to make a decision. They sit him home at the beginning of the year, or they repeat what happened last year. It's as simple as that. And Pat, you can put 10 Patrick Beverleys on this team with his mouth, and you're not going to change any of that. The only
just
way
to let you know, it is a player option on the 23-24 season.
Okay, so he would have likely picked that up because no one else is going to pay him $10 million. So you get rid of that contract. You now are what, $30 million in the clear next year when Westbrook's contract is out. You get rid of Beverly when he runs out or whatever, whenever the hell he goes. And now what do? You go after Chris Middleton. You go after Kyrie Irving. It's not a really big pot, but there's going to be some options there. And at that point, the Lakers are going to have to make a decision on how they're going to form the team to try and win a championship in LeBron's last couple of years.
I think you startled Laker Tom so much that he knocked over some equipment there with your thoughts on this, but... Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. Laker Tom, anything in retort to that?
Definitely.
Yeah. I knew you'd say that.
First off, I do agree with Joe that I worry about the Lakers focusing on a possible chasing of Kyrie Irving next summer when they should be focusing on what they're going to do to make the team have a chance to win this year right now. And here's the thing. If we go and give two draft picks, which is very possible for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, that's going to reduce that $30 million down to $10 million. And so the truth of the matter, and Eric Pincus said this in an article that he wrote just today, is that the whole idea of trying to talk about saving cap space for Kyrie Irving and in not putting together the best team that you can in order to do that doesn't make any sense at all. If you invest draft picks to get Miles Turner, you're going to re-sign him again. If you invest two draft picks to get Bojan Bogdanović and Malik Beasley, you're going to sign them again. You're going to extend them. Because that's the only way you can build a great team with superstars is you have to pay a tax. You have to be able to have bird rights on these guys so you get them from trade. It's really a fool's folly to try to put together cap space when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis already eating up so much money. That's the reason that we never have any trading chips, because we don't have guys under contract that you can put together in a multiple combinations of $5, $10, and $15 million so that you can go out and take advantage when every time opportunity knocks. We can't do that. So that's why the two things that everybody sort of agrees with as a result of the Russell Westbrook, or as a result of the trade for Beverly, is number one, that they have a point guard now, so that increases the chances that they're going to trade Russell Westbrook. And then secondly, just because of the personal relationship between the two of them, it's almost a sure sign that he is gone. The Pacers will do the deal for two picks. They've already said that. So the only question for the Lakers is, what do they want to make and do that deal? Or do they want to go and try to get one pick from somebody else? I think it's going to be hard to get one pick from Danny Ainge, although he might really understand the value of a 2029 first round pick. He's the kind of general manager who's going to be there in 2029, and a first round pick for a Laker team that's in a post LeBron James era, that could be a very valuable pick. But Joe's right that they're never going to see, everybody has agreed that if there is a situation where the Lakers, for some reason, probably financial, something to do with Jeannie not wanting to, to commit, that they're going to do something strange like that and then keep Russell for another year and get rid of him at the trade deadline, which will be easier to do than getting rid of him at any other time because he's only got half a year's salary left. But if they do that, they're going to send him home. They're not going to put him on a uniform and have him go out in the locker room with Pat Beverly and so forth. I just don't see them. There are deals to be made now. And unless the Lakers really shoot themselves in the foot, they're going to make one of those deals and trade for him. And it should be the Pacers deal. That's the option. Miles Turner is the one player who can really make this team be dramatically better than any of the other combinations that are available at this point in time. He's as much above the other options that they have right now as Kyrie Irving was above him.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because already I'm seeing all over social media how much he is so divisive because of all the things he's said and done over the years. But looking at the statistics, just bearing the statistics out, he has, at this older age, he's obviously passing the ball better, but he's not, the last year as far as that dip in shooting kind of concerns me. I'm not going to be wrong. I'm not going to be dishonest with you, Laker Tom. That dip concerns me.
The explanation that I've heard for that dip makes a lot of sense, because he was playing on a losing team, and basically he took a lot of, rather than spot up threes, he was taking jumpers. The other thing about Beverly is that, and part of this is that it's hard for me in my generation, and it's hard for anybody who's an old school basketball fan to really appreciate the young guys who have carved a brand for themselves, you know, that have made an image for themselves. And there's no doubt in my mind that Patrick Beverly has smartly created a brand for himself with his behavior. And that brand is partly responsible for, I think, not only for his success as a player and his success as a defender, but his ability to get under the skin of people, you know? He's the last guy you want to have guarding you. He really is, you know.
I would love for him to guard me if I was a star.
I would end his career. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You going to punch him down or pull a gun?
No. I would end it. I would run him.
He would run you into the ground and bury you 21-0 in a game of basketball.
Maybe. But if I was,
NBA player, come on. That's a joke.
No, I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking if I was a 6'6", lanky, athletic freak, I would, mentally, if I was able to have those physical traits, I could. Yeah, I would. His mouth wouldn't affect me if I was playing.
It affects a lot of players. You know, it affects probably half the guys.
I think his defense is overrated. His mouth is the only thing that gets him going. That's why he's been on, what, 7 teams since he's been in the league? He's a clown. He's a bozo. And the fact that I got to cheer for this freaking guy is just depressing. And again, I'm talking about sports people. I live a very good life. I'm not depressed in my life. This is sports related. This is depressing that I got to cheer for people I don't like. And I'm tired of this with the Lakers, especially the Lakers. And so, I don't like him.
When you hear the stats, or when you see the stats of what they showed off as far as, again, the fact that he is second in the league next to Giannis as far as the closest defender as far as lowest.
That's a stat that was pulled from somewhere and pulled out. Okay, you know what stats matter in the NBA in 2022, 2023? Can you shoot when you're a guard? 40%. From the guard position. That's what he shoots as a career. So tell me, and on top of that, again, he's playing for the Lakers, which means that's going to automatically drop. Automatically. Even Glenn Rice, G Money, his shot went down, and he was a shooter. He was a sniper. So you're telling me a 34-year-old Patrick Beverly is going to shoot what he's been shooting his whole career? No, he's going to get worse.
I think everybody on the Laker team, if you understand the game of basketball and how important spacing is to a shooter and how important getting open shots there are with few defenders around you, and if you understand that Darvin Ham's offense is designed to give two guys at the top of the key and they have more space around them, so it's harder for help defenders to guard them, we're going to see more open shots and more three-point shots from this team, because this is the first modern version that we're going to see of a Lakers basketball team in the last 10 years.
Tom, I saw a lot of open shots last year, and they clanked them. Believe me, I want to be wrong here, but I know what I saw. I watched at least 70 games from beginning to end, and parts of the other 12. I don't.
There still was a spacing problem all of last year. There was a size problem all of last year.
They missed so many open shots.
The group of players that we've got now. If you bring in Buddy Hield, he is going to shoot close to 40%.
Buddy Hield, I will give credit to, if he's open, it's likely he will shoot the 4-0. But if these guys in Indiana are not going to take picks that are protected, I'm not giving them jack squat. Because if Miles Turner is a constant injury-prone player, you can't risk that. If Miles Turner was a 70-75 game player per year, you can then think about that one, because that guy is the perfect center to play with an Anthony Davis. It would make sense. So this whole thing is about, we're in this current situation. There's data to back up what these guys are capable of doing. So Buddy Hield, we're in a consensus here that he would shoot a very good percentage if he's getting those open shots. There is a problem, though. He doesn't play good defense. That's a correct problem. Okay. Now, let's say Miles.
But if you have Turner.
Okay.
And LeBron and AD in the lineup.
Okay. First of all, LeBron hasn't been playing defense for 4 years. Let's be real.
That's not true.
He played defense in 2020.
He played defense in the bubble.
Okay, but he's and again, I'm not playoff downgrading
LeBron.
It.
Playoff LeBron is different from regular season LeBron.
He has to. He's in his advanced age. He has to preserve himself. I get that part, but we have to have an Anthony Davis that's healthy and a Miles Turner that's healthy for this to work.
And LeBron James that's healthy. We need the whole team to be healthy.
Well, LeBron James
to be lucky for a change, man.
LeBron James. While he has had some injuries, he's still there. He still plays when it matters. But
I mean, you don't get the chance to be the all-time scoring champ if you don't play a lot of games.
Yeah. But by the way, last year he kind of quit.
Well, yeah, he did. You could see it on his face.
You can tell it's not the same thing because everybody on the team quit, you know?
I will tell you, though, Laker Tom,
win a game even with our two superstars playing.
You mentioned something on the three-point shooting. The Lakers as a team were 17th out of 30 in three-point attempts, just to give you an idea, 34 a game. So go ahead, Joe. You were saying.
If they're going to make a move here, they can't risk their future picks being unprotected. If Indiana doesn't take at least a top eight protected pick, you can't make that trade. Not for players that, number one, only play one side of the ball.
Yeah, but that doesn't fly when there have been over seven unprotected picks already transacted during this period.
Well good for
everybody
them.
Everybody knows and expects the best you can do probably is to give them one unprotected pick and then maybe get a pick swap or else get a second pick that is heavily protected.
So let me ask this, guys. Okay, let's say the magical thing happens. We wave that magical wand and we get Miles Turner and Buddy Hield on the team. So you have a starting five of Patrick Beverly, Buddy Hield. Sorry, Joe, about Patrick Beverly. You have Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Miles Turner as your starting five. Realistically, Laker Tom, if you see that lineup and you think you're going to get reasonable health from that five, where do you think the team would land in the Western Conference?
52 games. They'll win 52 games. I'll bet you that if we do trade for Turner and Hield, that 44 win total that Vegas has will jump up to 52.
Well, it would jump up anyways, just because of all the people coming from LA to spike it up anyways. That's neither here nor there.
No, where's that put us? Probably fifth, maybe something like that. That's where I guess fourth to sixth.
Well, there's so many teams that are right in the 50s range.
Think of that lineup, because also what you're going to have is a pretty good deep team. Okay, young and athletic. But if you compare that lineup with LeBron and AD, and you've got that kind of shooting around them, that kind of defense, who's going to beat the? You think that we're going to worry about the Denver Nuggets or the Pelicans or teams like that? It's going to be the Clippers. We're not as good. We won't be as good as the Clippers. We won't be as good as the Warriors.
I think you're underselling.
We won't be as good as we probably won't be as good as Memphis. But I don't. I think that we could be the fourth best team with that lineup.
Well, Memphis has got Triple J out for half the year, so let's put that in perspective. So it's going to be the more the pressure is on.
But Disney I think we're definitely a fourth or fifth seed in that particular situation. In my mind, we're better than Denver. We're better than who else is out? Who else am I missing?
Phoenix.
Okay, Phoenix. Again, Phoenix Minnesota. Phoenix would knock us to fifth.
Minnesota, Golden State.
I have a question.
What what player that would matter at the trade deadline that could make a, let's say, Clyde Drexler type impact in 1995 that could demand a trade this year? Do you have any in mind?
If he's playing well, I'd say Kyrie off the top of my head.
Okay, why would the Nets make that trade at the trade deadline?
If for some reason their season go off the rails and he's doing his 50-40-90 routine in a contract year, that's a scenario where it could become attractive to go ahead and trade.
And it's only half his salary that another team has to pay, so they can take a chance on him being good down the stretch in a contract year.
I think it's very likely that now that Durant and Kyrie are staying in Brooklyn, they're going to probably could be competitive. I doubt he's going to be available.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're going to be fine.
Unless injuries.
I need to know who the other players are besides Kyrie. What player in the NBA right now would you say might have a chance at demanding a trade at the deadline that would matter?
That's a very good question.
That is the question.
Well, let me ask you this. The point is,
we don't have the trade capital, even if we kept those two picks.
Yeah.
We don't. Somebody, for example, suggested that we go after, I think, I can't remember, it was one of the personalities on suggested that we go after Donovan Mitchell and give him our two unprotected picks.
That's what Paul in the chat room had said as far as him.
Well, the problem with that is they can probably get four unprotected picks from somebody else who's probably going to be a lot less likely to get, like the Knicks.
The Lakers have zero chance of getting Donovan Mitchell on their team.
So, you know, we don't have – we're only going to trade for somebody who's becomes a pariah. You know, just be honest about it. If you want a superstar, it's got to be a superstar pariah. Maybe we get Ben Simmons if he still has mental problems because he's a clutch client. But what we have to do is we have to optimize everything we can around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And it starts with a great center to let them play their 3 and 4 rather than 4 and 5. It starts with a great point guard who can put pressure. You have a best defender on the team. You got a point guard, attack defender, and you've got a best shot blocker in the league. That's the way you anchor a defense. That's how that's going to make Darvin happy. And then you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who in the playoffs can defend anybody, all five positions. And so, you got Hield, so you got a head cover up for Hield because he can shoot.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
We heard from Laker Tom as far as if that magical five comes around, as far as with it, if the Indiana trade does get pulled off. What are your thoughts? How far do you think the Lakers would go with that starting lineup that I mentioned earlier?
You're talking about Turner, AD, LeBron, Beverly, and Hield?
Yes.
If healthy?
If healthy. Yeah, reasonably healthy.
I could see them winning 50 games.
There you go. Wow.
But
they're not going to be the favorites. They're not going to go in as the favorites to win number 18.
It's like Bill Parcells used to say, you are what you are. Yeah. And I bet
10 to 1 if LeBron gets hot and AD gets hot.
When you look at the situation, is you got your center that's injury prone, your power forward that's injury prone, you have your small forward, point forward that's in his 20th season, you have a whatever, and then Buddy Hield, who is a fantastic shooter who can't play defense. It just doesn't give me a lot of. We're in this to win titles. I'm pretty comfortable.
You can't go from where we were You can't go from 33-49.
There is not a fix and that's quick enough.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving could have done it. Kyrie Irving could have done it. Okay.
Well, you can't play defense
still,
either.
Still, your defense would have been so weak with Irving. I mean, it's really difficult. You know, in the playoffs,
it just grinds you down. It's bad optics. It's bad everything with this. You chose a player over another player that we all knew was better, but we went with the younger guy to see what he was made of, right? And Talen Horton Tucker.
So we're starting in the hole.
And then you put him in the worst situation to be successful, and then you trash him, and then you trade that guy for bigger trash. Like, it's like, I don't understand what the hell's going on here.
None of this makes any sense.
Why would you trade for other than money to clear, other than to clear money for next year? What the hell were you thinking? Dropping a 21-year-old who's still developing.
Dropping a 21-year-old who is a terrible fit on this team, who is overpaid, and who is, we were lucky as hell that.
And now you've lost a $10 million asset that you can add into a trade if something should come up.
We were lucky to trade him. Everybody else thought we were going to have to give a pick to sweeten the deal just to get rid of him.
I don't think anyone would have given up a pick to get Beverly. No one. There's a reason why Danny Ainge didn't get a pick. Even he knew. He's like, dude, no one's going to give me a pick for this. Danny Ainge didn't take a pick. Imagine that. Even he knew. We traded 21 for 34. And the 21-year-old kid,
you're gonna eat those words by the end of the year.
It's a salary dump, knowing that they didn't have to give up any draft capital. That's why they did it. And they know they're
going. Well, wait, if it's a salary dump for anybody, it's a salary dump for the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying.
The second year of the contract.
It's a salary dump for the Lakers so that they can clear Talen's contract at the end of the year.
We stuck Danny Ainge with a second-year salary.
The only thing I will say is this. Tom, let's put things in perspective as far as him not – he's not going to average more than 10 points a game. So he has to bring it on the defensive end and bring a defensive mentality that the Lakers can go ahead and elevate themselves beyond.
What did he do for Minnesota?
He gave them, again, internally,
he did exactly what the Lakers needed him to do. He inspired the team. They made the playoffs for the first time in, 20 years or something like that? They got some new – he was really an integral part of that team.
He was so integral that they got rid of him.
He got them a spirit. He was the energy of the team. Everybody on that team loved him.
But that was a predominantly younger team. This is going to be where your leaders are even older than he is, in the sense of LeBron, and AD is probably not going to be listening to too much of what Patrick Beverley has to say.
It's going to be exactly the same thing. He's a 34-year-old on a team that, other than LeBron and AD, is filled with young kids. This is a guy who is the same person he was with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. He'll be the same person with the Lakers as he was with Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
And he'll be the same guy that wins Jack on this team.
Wow. We certainly have I almost said
another four-letter word, but trying to keep this family friendly.
What? We've been trying.
Don't let your personal emotions for one single player color your decisions.
He is terrible.
Your opinions. We
have a 5'11 guard who can't shoot, who talks like he's freaking, like he's like he matters.
37.8% in the last 4 years, is the second best defender as far as
when he can smell your cologne. That's a baseball stat, you know. This guy can guard very well on a Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Mr. 94 feet.
Yeah, I know all about analytics. I'm a huge baseball guy. I know all about analytics. I watched Moneyball.
He did shoot 34%. Are you not concerned his 3-point shooting is dropping? Because that's what it did. No, it dropped to a career low last year.
He'll get more. You just have to, at some point in time, you have to understand that the offense that the team runs and the players that you play with make a tremendous difference in the kind of shots that you get. In Minnesota, he didn't get the kind of shots that he got when he played with the Clippers. Okay. A lot of different types of shots. He was taking a lot of shots off of the bounce, off of the dribble, instead of just catch and shoot threes. With the Lakers, Pat's going to come down, he's going to bring the ball down for his point guard, and he's going to give it to LeBron or AD spaced out at the wings, and then he's going to go sit in the corner. For that pass in the corner so he can nail a three-point shot. That's what his job is going to be with the Lakers. That's all he's going to do offensively. And then on defense, he's going to find the other team's point guard, and he's just going to bother the hell out of him. Hassle him. He's going to be the guy that every single basketball player knows. The guy who fouls you on every single play, hassles you, hacks you, trips you, stumbles into you, bumps into you, talks you, gets you out of your game, gets you so angry that you want to just throw the ball at him. And when he gets into those guys' heads like that, that's one of the reasons why they don't shoot as well. Because they're trying to punish him instead of play the game the way that they're going to do. He gets them out of their game.
Well, again, I hope he does that. I hope he's going to have to be able to bring that, not only statistically, but actually on the court. We'll see with the eye test.
You also have to remember what your alternative is. Because Russ ain't going to be here.
I don't know. Suicide? Death? Hold on. Let me look.
Scottie Pippen Jr., is that your answer?
Hold on. He shot. Hold on. I'm gonna run by the numbers when he was a Clipper. So he was a Clipper from 18 through 21. So that's four seasons. Uh-huh. He shot from the field 40%, 40%, 43%.
Doesn't matter. Why did he shoot from three? Because the only shots he's gonna take are threes, man.
Three-point shots percentages. He shot 40%, 40%, 38,
39. What were those last three numbers?
So he basically shot 40% 4 years in L.A. as a Clipper, which means he's going to be shooting 35% as a Laker.
Oh, is that your discount?
But again, you're missing the point, guys, that he went to Minnesota and Tom is saying he got totally different shots there. I'm not so sure on that. I saw their offense quite a bit. I know some of the shots that he did take. He was playing with Anthony Edwards, one of the budding superstars out there. And of course, he has one of the best centers that he was playing alongside in the NBA, someone who could shoot from the outside and still play in deep. So I don't know. I think he had to share good shots, and his numbers went down, so I'm concerned about that. His playmaking skills over the years have gone a little bit better. He did average a career high, 4.6 assists last year. Go ahead.
I got to say this because it's one of my favorite lines of all time. What happened last year? I thought the Russell Westbrook trade would work out. So I got to say my favorite line from 20-plus years ago, which is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. We can't keep fooling people.
I just don't think he's going to. This is a different. They're expecting different things from him than they are Russell Westbrook. He's not going to be.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about,
guy on the team. I'm not expecting that in the slightest.
If
he could be a good rotational player, that's all I'm asking.
Was the worst blunder in Laker history, at least the last 30 years.
You can't compare it. You can't compare a trade for a $13 million guy like a trade to a $47 million guy.
The worst 31 years since 1991. I watched Randy Fund coach the Lakers into a lottery, and we ended up getting Eddie Jones, which was actually a good thing. We watched Kobe's 05 team that was in transition. We watched Julius Randle in 14 through 2018, Julius Randle.
Yeah, we won, D'Angelo Russell, we won 17 championships.
Right? We've seen all that. And it's still not worse than how it was last year. So at this point, being optimistic.
Well, one thing we know for sure is it's going to be better this year.
I don't know. Not right now. Sorry, Tom. I'm not seeing it.
It can't be worse than last year. You already said that it was the worst year ever. It can't be worse than that.
It could be, though, because you just got someone who's not capable of improving the team, and you still have the cancer on the team, And then now you got to pray that AD stays healthy and LeBron stays healthy, which are suspect. So this does not look good. And to keep those guys healthy, you need guys to contribute so they don't have as much pressure on them. That's why Chet Holmgren already busted his foot. It's like, have you guys noticed that pressure more just
that was
better playing? It just jacks up people.
It could have happened to
anybody, but have you noticed? Have you noticed? You've been around a while here, Tom. Have you noticed that a lot of these young guys, Blake Griffin, Chet Holmgren, Ben Simmons, these guys are not—they're coming out of—they're coming out of school, and they're just right away. It's—they're getting injured for a whole the first year. There's too much pressure.
It's a dangerous game, man. I've got two torn Achilles tendons playing the game. I've got a bad back as a result of the game, and I got a. And I have a new shoulder because of the game.
Well, let me say this, Tom. Let me say this. You know, when it concerns Zion Williamson, you know, a lot of weight is put on those feet, which was the cause of much of his issues over the past couple seasons. Chet Holmgren, he is falling to somewhere consistently what we've seen over the past few years with big guys, all the way leading back to what Arvydas Sabonis, who was a great talent.
You carry a 7 foot body around, it's a lot.
Bill Walton, you know, all these big guys that have been injured as far as their feet are concerned. We're seeing that again when it comes to Chet Holmgren, and hopefully he can go ahead and get a full recovery, but he's out for the entire season. I mean, this is what we're seeing from a lot of these 7 footers that are out there. This is not just some type of, you know, once in a dandy thing or a coincidental thing. This is something we're seeing. But again, the key to the Lakers season for everybody, whoever they field out there, it's got to be health. If they're not healthy, then Joe is going to be right. This could be a much worse season than even last year.
And part of their health.
Stop crying about the healthy thing over and over.
Part of the health is them having. Part of the health is having a capable team that can.
That's what they're doing. Somebody like Beverly.
Make Beverly, a decision on what?
Beverly is not just a.
It's not like they just signed Mickey Mouse. Come on, let's be serious.
I'd rather have Mickey Mouse.
He's
on
a pro basketball player. He's well thought of. He's respected by almost all of his peers. He's respected by LeBron James. If LeBron can handle him being on a team in the same locker room, in the same huddle, then man, fan and get along with it.
I don't think Chris Paul respects him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that he's ticked off over the course of his years. You know this, Tom.
Ticking off one thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any purpose. I've ripped Beverly probably as more than Joe has at various times. I mean, ask my wife. There's no player in the league I disliked more than him.
I don't think it's just that. You cannot compare it to
I want
to
win.
The Westbrook deal.
I just can't compare it to the guy.
If he gives you a solid contribution, that's all I'm asking for a 34-year-old guard. That's all I'm asking for him.
You don't have to take him to dinner, man. Hey, he's not going to marry your sister, you know?
If he can give you something at the starting guard, defense and decent three-point shooting, that's all we need to ask. That's all we can ask for him because that's all he's been able to do over the course of his career. He's not going to get you 20 points a game. He's not going to get you 10 assists a game. He's just going to be able to do within the confines of what his career has dictated. And again, that to me is if he can get us 10 points a game, he can shoot close to 40%, and he can play anywhere near the kind of defense that statistically he is said to be playing at the past 5 seasons. That's the best you can ask as far as a rotational player is concerned. This is not the Westbrook trade because the Westbrook trade, we expected so much more out of Russell Westbrook, and he didn't deliver. That's why I was never on board on it from day one. I told you guys, I did not think he was going to be a good fit at all for this team. With Patrick Beverly, if he's not a good fit, you're only taking away 10 points a game from the team because he's just a 10-point player. Yes, he does play great. He can play great defense. Yes, he can shoot 40%. But overall, as far as a points per game type deal, it's only taking away 10 points from the team if he's not able to go ahead and perform at the level he once did. So I'm kind of putting things in perspective for all the fans out there and all the listeners, but you guys have been incredible out there. We've had a great number of people interested. I mean, a lot of people have been checking us out on the YouTube channel, Laker Tom, please calm down. Please I already knew. You knew going in, Joe was thinking out of the other way. You knew he was coming out of the dumpster. You knew he was not happy with this, Laker Tom. You knew it. You guys seem
like Joe could have probably gone back 5 or 6 shows and taped everything I said about Pat Beverly and replayed it right back at me.
Yeah, but,
I mean, you know.
You guys are usually in agreement on as far as the way that you see the Lakers. So this is one area where you guys differ.
Agreement about the kind of players that we like, you know, and it's not the kind of players that Pat Beverly is as far as his attitude goes, you know.
And we're going to see that. He's going to make a lot of fans.
He's a jerk, but he's our jerk, you know, now. That's the way
he's
our,
he's the Lakers jerk now, much to Joe Sorrell's chagrin, but. Guys, it's been a great conversation.
What are you going to do, Joe? You're going to become a Clipper fan, man? Come on. You ain't going to do that.
Pat got that. Joe out of his game.
You got no choice. No.
I cannot wait now to see Darvin Ham start Russell Westbrook, a backcourt of Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley.
Oh, Russell's gone, man.
And then you guys can go ahead and do your kumbaya and hold hands.
I just think it makes it easier if they can't find a trade, they're going to send him home.
They don't have
all of the main people covering the Lakers.
Russ is not going to play
no matter what.
They don't have the testicular fortitude to do that. As I'm calling it right now, they're not going to send him home.
Sure they do.
If they're going to go trade for a Patrick Beverly, they're not going to tell Russell Westbrook to sit down. I'm hoping I'm doing an anti-jinx right now, but
no. As a matter of fact, most people think because they traded for Patrick Beverly, that's why they're going to sit Russell Westbrook.
Who's down. Patrick Beverly for that to matter? Patrick Beverly trade was a money transfer. That's all it was. It was a money thing. They got rid of a contract that they can clear out at the end of the year.
No.
And they didn't have to give up assets. That's the only reason why they did this.
And it wasn't the contract they wanted to get rid of. They wanted to get rid of a player who didn't fit.
It's hard to fit a player.
If PhD had lived up to expectations,
they put a player, the way they use, it doesn't make any sense to keep you. The way they use THT is like putting Shaq at the 3-point line. It was unrealistic to put him in those positions. He's not going to succeed.
We had no shooters to create spacing.
Why was he
attack the basket when everybody else was in the paint?
Why was he somewhat successful in the first few years with a different system and not having Russell Westbrook there? He was coming up. The reason why they let Alex Caruso go is because they saw potential in a 20-year-old at that time who could do something in the future.
Alex Caruso go for money.
Well, that's what I'm saying is they chose the 20-year-old over a 27-year-old Caruso, thinking that this guy had something, and then all of a sudden they also took an Italian chef and made him make pizza. No, I'm sorry, Chinese food. See, you got me all confused.
Hey, watch that, man.
No, he was using that as a metaphor.
I'm using that as a metaphor.
Someone that specializes in Italian food. You ask that individual to cook Chinese food or German food or, you know, some type of other type of food that they're not familiar with in cooking. I think that's what he was trying to go ahead.
No, that is what I was trying to say. They put him in a position to fail. And then in the end, they ended up. It's almost like a double slap. You got rid of him and.
Well, we
got rid of him.
They thought that he would develop into being able to shoot and defend, but he couldn't develop into either one of them. And so basically, he will get there, I think. It just won't be with the Lakers.
It's a terrible transaction.
One of the things you're going to see is everybody's going to be saying right now, what a great deal the Jazz got. They've got a 21-year-old kid. He's got potential. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. By 23 or 4, he could be a star.
Laker Tom and I fell into that trap last year.
You're right. I mean, listen, I bought property. I still own property on THT Island. But
you sold me on THT. I was thinking of potential. We saw that 33-point game in the preseason. We're thinking,
every time you go out, think about this. Every time we go out and make a deal, make a sign a player, trade for a player who doesn't fit, who can't defend and can't shoot, it always comes back to bite you. And everybody knows, you can tell from going back to the last, look at the LeBron, Wade, and Bosch stats. Anybody can tell that Bosch is half a superstar, because you can only have 2.5 superstars on a team. You can't, there's not enough balls, there's not enough touches, there's not enough shots for all three guys to do what they're going to do. This is why it's a good thing.
I don't believe that Chris Bosch was half a superstar. He was a 2010 player in Toronto. He was a team player. He was the perfect third guy on that team. That's why they won two titles.
Kyrie, it wasn't going to be Kyrie who sacrificed. I'll tell you that much.
No, he wouldn't. And
it would have been AD or LeBron.
That's not what you want to do. This now adds to the concern on having to settle to for something that I think in the end they probably shouldn't. So they're going to need to ride this season out.
Get Turner and Yates. They're going to need to
ride this season out and hope that Chris Middleton doesn't want to stay in Milwaukee next summer and go after him. He's the perfect guy to play with AD and LeBron next year.
That's what I got. You don't base your decision on doing stuff like that unless you had inside information of a relationship.
I think that's more information
because from Kyrie Irving, I still wouldn't.
I think that shows more, you know what the hell you're doing than what they're doing now.
I'm hoping that Rob can pull it together, man,
but there's no hope in this business at this point. And there's only results. There's hope when you go outside and smell the air and listen to the birds. We're talking about results right now. The result right now is you've got leaders on this team that don't know what the hell they're doing, unless they're doing stuff financially, which I think that's what this is. And at that point, they're gonna do what they do financially.
That was one factor in the deal. There's no doubt that they wanted to get out of any salaries going forward. But the problem is you cannot build a team to compete the next 2 years without. And one of our problems is that we've done this every year. We've taken the entire roster and turned it over. And we don't sign anybody with a long-term deal, so we never have anybody to trade. And you got all your money tied up in three players and a whole bunch of other players, and then you could find something like none that you signed for $5 million. At least you thought I had a player that made a little more than a minimum, and he gets the world's greatest bone bruise in history.
If you guys saw the third episode of Legacy, this is a good example. Now that you guys are talking about this, because Tom, you mentioned the and again, it's not a spoiler. You'll watch it. You'll be fine. Yeah. So. You just mentioned something interesting because it reminded me of the show. So there was a moment. I did not know this. This is why the third episode was really good. I did not, and we did kind of talk about it in the last show. Dr. Buss all but said he's trading James Worthy for Mark McGuire, right?
Tarpley, right? I remember hearing that back in the day.
So that move.
The newspaper clippings.
Okay, that move was essentially done. However, Jerry West said, I can't be here anymore if you're going to make that kind of trade. And we discussed on the last show that if it wasn't for James Worthy, we don't win the 1988 championship. Do we win it with Mark McGuire, Roy Tarpley? We all know what happened to Roy Tarpley, so you probably have an answer to that already. So the point is, the Lakers made decisions like Dr. Buss was about to make, and they didn't ever have a Jerry West saying, stop, this is a good team, hang tight, let's retool a little bit and go on. Instead, we all got impatient, LeBron got impatient, instead of coming back after 2021, and AD even said it, let's run it back, because they were one AD injury away from probably going back to back.
Run it back with the players who won it, not the players who weren't good enough to be on part of the team and weren't in the rotation. There was, you check with Darvin Ham, and none of those two players, neither one of those two players, Stanley Johnson, or
no, this last team,
one of them, THC, they were not in the rotation next
this,
year.
This last team was the loud, you know, the fact that the reason why it's the worst season is because there was some talent on there that completely derailed due to just abhorrent chemistry and guys that didn't take accountability that were making $47 million a year. That completely just polluted everything around them. And that's the problem with that, is it wasn't just bad play. It was morale was done. It got to the point where fans were harassing people's families.
That's why you have to get rid of Westbrook.
You know, so getting rid of Westbrook is obviously going to help. But the reality of August 25th, 2022 tells me, after a Patrick Beverley trade, that he ain't going anywhere. That they're going, you know what? This season looks like it's shot, unless Indiana has a, you know, change of heart and says, all right, guys, we'll give you the protected top eight for 27-29. Then right away you'll see the Lakers make that trade. But then guess what? We're going to get a player who can't play defense and another player who we don't know if he's going to play defense or offense because he's injured half the year. So we are effed either way right now, and we're more effed now where we are because I think that's where we're going to be in 2 months. Dude, training camp's a month away. What's going to happen between – is Indiana going to change their mind? Are they going to change their mind in the next
– This is why guys become Clipper fans, you know. I mean, they go through this thing.
Anyone who becomes a Clipper fan
out of them and
it should not be
ever – They wake up and it's Clipper Joe.
I don't – look, I – what is it? What do they call it? I'm a lyrical soul. I'm there for the worst and best times.
Tom, I'm never always the beacon of positivity. I look at things through a realistic lens myself. So let's not say, as far as, you know, we're not questioning anybody's Lakers fandom here just because they are questioning certain moves on the Lakers. I've questioned moves on the Lakers for going back since the 80s. I've questioned Lakers moves. Haven't always been right. I haven't always been wrong.
No, but it's gonna make me less of a Lakers fan. Become a Patrick Beverley fan over the next year. It's gonna be one of the most
maybe he will
enjoy.
I just think that it's not as bad as Joe says. I don't think it's as good as you said.
We'll have to have a bet of some sort so that there's a Patrick Beverley Lakers jersey involved.
I just don't think at 34 years of age he's going to be as good as you want. And I don't think he's going to be as bad as Joe thinks. I just think it's going to be somewhere right there. And if he's a rotational
piece, what's your grade for the trade?
I rate it a C+. That's okay. You know, not too bad, not too good, but just right there. I think it's solid.
A minus.
I don't think it moves the needle. Because of the big F.
A BF.
Yeah. Well, he said
no,
big F.
No, big F. Not just an F. Big. I can find a F minus somewhere.
All right. Fair enough indeed. But if everyone out there has thoughts on the Patrick Beverley trade and you didn't get a chance to shout it out in our awesome chat room, which John, which The Range, which Howard Hill.
I'm going to buy Joe a Patrick Beverley jersey.
Yeah, just a tremendous amount of people talking on the chat. You guys have been amazing. Paul, who's a tough fan, coming on again. Wes Trueblood.
I don't wear other men's amazing. Jerseys.
Petty Mike Hat all started things off. So you guys have been amazing on this chat tonight. You see, and the thing is, Joe and Tom don't always disagree. They usually agree on the direction of the Lakers. But again, this is something very divisive. I just don't think it moves the needle enough either which way. So I'm kind of like, eh.
It's a precursor trade.
Yeah, well, let's hope it leads to something else indeed.
It's a precursor to sucking. That's the needle.
You know, actually there was a terrific somebody had taken a picture of Jeannie Buss sitting up in the stands with Kurt Rambis. And Jeannie had she had a I think it was a pencil or something like this, something. No, oh, it's a licorice, a piece of licorice. And she's pointing like this with a piece of licorice, you know. And she says, "Yeah, it's that guy over there. See the guy over there? Everybody's laughing at that really annoying guy, you know. So can we trade for him?" And it was just perfectly done. It was probably the best tweet of the day that I saw. You know, you could just the picture is
going down that
should have been Rob. That should have been Rob, not Jeannie. I think Jeannie. Yeah. Might be a little smarter than Rob.
No, but it was just so perfect because it just the look on Jeannie's face and she's pointing out to this guy, and you could just the way that dialogue perfectly fit the picture was just what thing of beauty, you know.
Well, look at this way, guys. At least you made John hungry for some Chinese food. You know, he's ready to go ahead and order. And again, he'll probably show his order if you go ahead and check out his great channel among all the other great videos that he has, John McCallion on YouTube. Hopefully he'll be able to join us on Sunday. Hopefully Laker Tom and Joe will actually, you know, kind of make amends and not be so angry at each other come Sunday. We can go ahead and chill out a little bit.
Look, if I was mad at Tom, you would know. And so would Tom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I'm very, it's very clear when I don't like you. I don't have any of that animosity.
Oh, that's good. I'm thankful that's not happened to me as of yet. But well, John,
we're not talking about what Joe and I think of you, Gerald. It's,
well, thank you. I'm very honored and flattered. So hopefully everybody out there will do the same as well.
We're here because of you.
Well, thank you. They're here because of all of us. The audience is here because of all of us, and we truly appreciate it. We've had a nice audience tonight. Again, if you have any Lakers fans in your life.
We're going to turn Joe into
I didn't do
the promos now before we head on out?
I didn't unleash like I probably should have.
Okay. Well, he'll save that for LakersBall.com. Please go ahead and check out Ox1947 and everything that he unloaded upon concerning the Patrick Beverley trade at LakersBall.com. John McCallion with one last comment. Ox1947, it's optimistic, trying to lose 130 pounds. I lost 50 pounds twice. Congratulations for doing so, once before moving to San Diego. But if you regain the weight, well, you can do it again. Remember, your videos are extreme positivity out there. And if anybody wants to go ahead and check it out, please go ahead and follow John McCallion today. Subscribe to his YouTube channel today, and you'll be glad you did. Hopefully, again, I will get him back on after he's finished with the Chinese food to come on and stop by on Sunday. Laker Tom, hopefully, will be back as well. Whatever he has for dinner, that's up to him. Joe, maybe at ordering a pizza, you know, because pizza seemed to be the theme of the day during the course of the show. I mean, just because he was saying, you know, if you're Italian and you make a pizza, but I think that was, of course, a slip up on his part. But again, please, if you want to go ahead and share your thoughts on the Patrick Beverley trade, please go ahead and do so today or whenever you can at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. Also, as well, at Laker Tom on Twitter. You know he'll be active on Twitter because he's already down that rabbit hole known as NBA Twitter. Also as well, Joe Soro at JoeSoro5 on Twitter. You know he's at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and join one of the amazing groups today that he's all over at LakersBall.com. You know Laker Tom as the number one Lakers blogger out there. You know he's going to go ahead and write some more blogs on Patrick Beverley today and in the coming days at LakerHolics.com. Plus, go ahead and check out Jamie Sweet's thoughts as well on the Five Things articles. Plus, also go ahead and check out what we're doing today at Lakers Fast Break as well, and our good friends at the HoopHeadsPod.com outlet as well. But guys, my gosh, no short of opinions. I knew this was exactly what I was going to get myself into when I hit the online to go ahead and go on the air, because I knew you guys were already divisive on this issue. And it actually turned out as good as I hoped. We didn't kill anyone on today's episode, which is always a good thing. But any last thoughts before we head on out? Laker Tom?
I think I'm going to do a FundMe page, you know, just so that we can get that Patrick Beverley jersey for Joe. Maybe a whole Patrick Beverley uniform, you know, he could wear on the show. I think that would really be cool, man.
Well, at least as long as it's not the Clippers jersey. There you go.
No, the Lakers jersey, man.
I know what you're saying. I know. But you had those Clippers comments earlier, so.
What about the Clippers?
Well, what about the Clippers?
You had those comments on the Clippers. That's how people become Clippers
fans. Joe's a Lakers fan. He's not going to change the Clippers. Okay. I was just kidding.
I'm glad we established
that. There's a better chance of me liking Patrick Beverly than being a
Clippers fan. Of course there is. And there will be a point.
And there's a better chance of a
there'll be baskets made, Joe, in the games that you're gonna go, oh, way to go, Pat. I can't do that because I hate Patrick Beverly.
Patrick Beverly is not doing jack squat for this team.
Look at that block. Oh, Beverly.
And then he'll be mouthing off and then getting burned at the same time and costing us a game, and that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, we better go, guys, because the porn sites are
coming.
Best adult dating sites are actually trying to go ahead and hit us up again. Those bots are everywhere. I'm telling you what. I hope they make a lot of money.
I get random text messages now. I used to get it on the PlayStation. They found my cell phone. I get these text messages like, hi, this is Brenda. And I'm like, I'm in the customer service industry. So I know Brenda's in my work. I'm like, Brenda who? I know two Brendas. What? Oh, how you doing tonight? And I'm like, oh my God. like go away. And I'm a little bit more vulgar on that, but it's like, seriously, people, is this who does this stuff? What people actually?
Obviously, they make money from it. Obviously,
okay, so that's okay then. Okay, I got you.
I didn't say it was okay. I'm just saying that's why they do it. It's always about the money. It's always about the money, indeed. But guys, it's been great having you on. Thanks. Big shout out to Nick Wong, who said good night, Lakers fast break.
Is he related to somebody?
He might be related to somebody. You never know. You never know.
Who's Nick, Tom?
Nick Wong is my grandson. UCSB student.
Very proud. He's mentioned you off the air. He said some very great things.
Member of the 2011 Mill Valley champions.
He has a tremendous amount of pride for his family. That's something I could never, ever say differently about Tom. He always has a great sense of his family, where he comes from.
I lost my son and two granddaughters to the Golden State Warriors, man. And thank God Nick just hung in there with me, man.
Warriors?
I tell you, that whole Warrior thing is vicious. I had two girls wearing 8 and 24, and they became Warrior fans. I mean, really?
Why? Because Steph Curry's so nice?
Oh, yeah.
Is that why?
I like Steph Curry as a person. I think he's really cool.
And well, listen, I've said before.
You don't know who Steph Curry is behind the scenes. How do you know?
Okay. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
From what I see, I think he's okay. I will speculate. How about that? Since we speculate a lot on this show.
There's a lot to admire from that team because, again, we don't value unselfishness. We only value money in this society. And, you know, the reason why those guys keep winning is
play
because,
the game the right way, man. They
you know, how many stars like Steph Curry be like, yeah, Durant, come on in. Come on. Let's win championships. You know, it takes a lot of self-confidence and security in yourself to do stuff like that. Same thing with Clay.
KD had.
And then KD got angry and left. That's the hilarious part about that. But
can you imagine KD when the Warriors won without him?
KD. They should have a class about how social media and what people think about you can do to a human being and how not to let that happen to you. They could teach a class on what happened because Kevin Durant was the most unassuming, nice person up until his last season with Oklahoma City. When he went to Golden State, I remember those times. It was like people would be randomly talking about flowers and I'd see these quotes. Well, these flowers mean just as much as, or mean still mean more than Durant's two titles in Golden State. And I'm like, what the hell does that have to do with flowers? Like just random people saying that. So imagine what he was going through, reading that everywhere he was going. If I'm seeing that, and then all of a sudden you hear about burner accounts. I didn't even know what the hell a burner account was until Kevin Durant, I guess, was known for doing that.
Him and Colangelo.
And then, yeah, it just started piling on, and then all of a sudden, boom.
All right, that's the farther we go down this road, I think the farther we're not going
to be. Time to leave the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
nice talking to you guys.
Going down the Twitter rabbit hole indeed, but once again, go ahead and check out Laker Tom today at LakerHolics.com, Joe Sorrell at LakersBall.com. We'll be back on Sunday for another group chat. What will we talk about? What will we argue about? What will we discuss? Find out on Sunday as we come back for another great episode of the Lakers Fast Break.